Well, before we leave you today, I must pay tribute to our esteemed colleague Alan Saunders, who died yesterday in hospital suddenly after complications from pneumonia. He was such a very big character that I think all of us around the network are finding it a bit hard to come to terms with the fact that he'll no longer be a presence in our lives as we walk past his office or tune into his unique programs. In 2005, we co-presented Saturday Breakfast, the precursor of Saturday Extra, which I don't think he enjoyed too much. But I certainly came to respect the sheer scope of his knowledge. And of course, he moved on to By Design and then continued broadcasting his beloved Philosopher's Zone. The man who probably knew him best on RN was our own lovable other adopted Englishman, Robin Williams. He's on holiday in Italy, and I managed to catch up with him for his memories of this complex man called Alan Saunders.
Thank you, Geraldine.
What was your first memory of Alan Saunders, the man of whom you said to me, Alan has a mind like a suburb. It just goes on and on and on. I've never forgotten that description, which I thought was completely accurate.
Well, the first time I came across him was when I was actually looking for a review of the work of Joseph Priestley, the English philosopher and chemist, in fact, associated with oxygen. And I'd asked the Vice Chancellor of the University in Canberra, at the ANU, to write me something, and he delayed and he delayed, and 6 months went past, and eventually he said, look, I can't do it, I'm too busy. Go and see this person called Alan Saunders. And I found him in the History of Ideas unit, which is very famous, brilliant area of philosophical discourse and so on. And I met this rather diffident, slim, fresh Englishman who said he'd be delighted to do it. And he said so in the most wonderful voice. He turned out to be a singer, a bit like Alfred Deller, a countertenor. And so we discussed it, and I expected not much really to happen, because when you go to universities and you talk to younger students, it often doesn't. And almost the next day, a tape turned up on my desk in Sydney. He'd actually gone off his own bat to the ABC in Canberra, recorded the thing. It was word perfect, and I could put it on air straight away. And I phoned him up, and I said, how did you know how to do that? And he said, it's the kind of thing I love. So he was a complete natural radio talent. And from then on, I asked him to do more stuff, usually associated with history, usually the 17th century, and eventually I found that he was as wise and informed about food and music, and on it went.
Yes, but he wasn't quite what he seemed, to the extent that I think to Australians who worked with him, he looked like the full upper-class Englishman. You know, classics trained and sort of lived in the home counties. He wasn't like that, was he?
Not remotely. He came from a little suburb of North London. He went to William Ellis School, paradoxically, because William Ellis, who invented rugby by picking up the ball, the last thing you can imagine Alan Saunders doing is playing rugby, almost any sport. And he tried to get into Oxbridge, but ended up in Leicester and then the London School of Economics. And when he got to the ANU, it was to do a PhD, and of course he was invited when there was a vacancy in the science unit to become an applicant, and I think he was a runner-up. And I asked the committee what they were on about, because it seemed to me he was the most natural talent we'd fallen across in a long time. And they said, well, he's another posh Englishman. We want a real Australian. And I said, well, do you realise his dad's a taxi driver? And most of what you're seeing, all this immense culture, is virtually sui generis. It was, you know, made by Saunders, because his brain took him and his talents took him where naturally they led. And he's not some instant posh British git. He's unique.
Well, he was also, he had an extraordinary range of interests. If anybody cares to just go to the web and look at the fact that he contributed, you know, to Comfort Zone, to the Science Unit, to Livewire. He won the Geraldine Pascal Prize in 1992 in recognition of the distinguished contribution made to cultural life in Australia. But he also had an interest in, for instance, vampires. His screensaver was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, he could have very, very ordinary interests as well, couldn't he?
It's quite weird. It reminded me to some extent of Wittgenstein, one of his heroes, the Cambridge philosopher, who used to think about the meaning of life and everything and then go and watch cowboy films for hours on end. And Alan was like that. He really loved, if you like, demotic culture. And he would vie with everybody on knowing some of the most obscure things on, you know, trash, frankly. And yet you describe all these programs he did. I mean, one of the best books I've ever read on food, A is for Apple, which is just a fabulous collection of essays, which was not recognized as well as it should. He got the Pascal Prize, but I think he should have gone further. And yet, despite knowing so much about food, he used to eat all sorts of rubbish.
Oh, shocking.
I mean, I used to argue with him for ages about eating bloody crisps and drinking, you know, sugary tinned drinks. The same, to some extent, with his understanding of architecture and design and all the rest of it. I mean, he'd wax lyrical about the most wonderful shapes and designs of places to live, and yet his own office was total shambles.
Yes, we won't talk about his office.
It was, you know, but it was so obvious that there's this contradiction. And I suppose to some extent that was that English stuff left behind where you didn't see the disjunction between what was in your head and what was there before your very eyes.
Well, that's the only thing I think that does probably mitigate some of the sadness that we're all feeling, is that he probably did achieve proportionally far more in this adopted land of Australia than he would have in England, competing with all the other intellectuals and, as we've been talking about earlier in the program, self-made people who actually got that leg up in that moment of opening up in English society in the 50s and the 60s and the early 70s. So I suppose there is that about it. He did achieve very well here. We were all just hoping he could achieve more.
Yes, he was a star in Australia without question, whereas in Britain, I think with all those pushy buggers around, you know, he should have been an Alain Botton, maybe writing about the world which surrounds us, but there are so many Alain Botons really competing on the stage. I don't think he would have done it, whereas Australia recognises so many talents when they are in front of them the institutions in Australia are able then to leap on raw talent and make the best of it, as I think the ABC did. I think the ABC has been really fantastic for someone like Alan and a unique presence whom we'll miss immensely.
Well, look, thank you very much indeed, Robin. It's terrific to talk to you, and I know it is a very sad time for all of us who've known him so well. Here is Alan. I'm going to leave listeners with Alan in full flight from the floor of the ABC's Eugene Goossens Hall when he chaired a public forum, which some of you may remember, in July 2010, titled "It's All About Me." Just listen for the sting at the end. "It's All About Me," a forum on the philosophy of self.
Walt Whitman, the extremely bearded American poet, once said, "Do I contradict myself? Very well, then, I contradict myself. I am large. I contain multitudes." So, a guy there who doesn't set much store by consistency. Well, contrast him to me. Now, I once did a philosophical quiz on the web. You know, it was the equivalent of those quizzes you get in magazines like New Idea, where you tick the boxes and find out that you're a hopeless romantic or a commitment phobe. Now, I did this philosophy quiz and found out that, intellectually speaking, I was the opposite of a commitment phobe. I was frighteningly consistent in my views. So I don't contain multitudes. It's lonely in here.
Well, vale, Alan Saunders, and the final of his three-part Philosopher's Zone series with Dr. Stathis Gourgouris from Columbia University will be presented by Joe Gelonesi here on RN on Sunday evening at 5:30 p.m. So you may very much like to catch that, because we won't see someone like Alan again very soon.